The WA Liberal Leadership Challenge fed up firefighters and the Perth Scorchers on track for a record crowd. It's Monday, the 30th of January.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
Maddie, how was your weekend?
Ah, big weekend. Bit of beach time, bit of pool time.
It's lovely, by
beautiful
the beach
weather.
This weekend.
Summer's finally hit. I'm calling it. Probably about, what, how many weeks late?
Yeah, a number of weeks late. It's going to be a scorcher today. We'll talk about the actual scorchers a bit later on. But right now, all eyes are on the WA Liberal Party, which is not a sentence.
Yeah, there'll be a scorcher in that party room meeting.
Which is not a sentence we have to say very often these days.
No, the leadership challenge is happening 11 o'clock this morning.
Yep.
Libby Metem going head-to-head with current leader David Honey. Libby Metem says if she wins this, she has a plan to take on the power brokers, the Clan, who have widely been blamed for essentially the crucifixion of the Liberal Party.
Yeah, the Liberal Party, for sure.
Exactly. So a minuscule team of 9 state MPs will vote in this. The West Australian's saying Libby Metem has 6 votes.
Oh, yeah.
That leaves 3 others that she doesn't have. She would be the winner.
You'd have to vote for yourself, wouldn't you?
There's
such a small party room.
I did when I was going for school captain in primary school.
Oh, yeah.
I won. But it wasn't by one vote. It was more than one. Just putting it out there.
Sure. How do you think this one's going to go?
I think Libby Metem's going to win.
Surely.
I think it's a positive for the party. They have really struggled to get any airtime with David Honey whatsoever. He just hasn't galvanised the population. He's gone missing. It doesn't feel like he's even talking to voters when he does speak. And often, when we're watching in the media, Libby Metem's the face of it anyway.
Absolutely. Well, as the shadow health spokesperson during the pandemic, I think it really put her on the radar for a lot
the
of West
FIFO
Aussies.
FIFO inquiry.
Yep, and the FIFO inquiry was massive as well. Yeah. So I think she's definitely sort of done everything she could to position herself as a viable leadership option.
Yep. I think she needs to improve from her TV performance.
Yeah.
Because at the moment she sort of struggles to get the words. It's a bit kind of this higgledy-piggledy words together. She needs to sharpen everything up, make it short, get the message across in 5 seconds. If she's going to take it to Mark McGowan, she's got to be as strong in front of the camera as he is.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be very interesting to see what happens next. Either way, probably I don't think Mark McGowan's going to lose too much sleep over what's happening.
No,
at the
WA
Liberal
he's probably
Party.
Just watching with the popcorn.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, talking about things that Mark McGowan will be watching, first it was the police, then it was the nurses. Now another group of frontline workers is hitting him up for more money.
Yes, the firefighters.
Yeah. Fireys.
Wait for it, though. So they're demanding a 5% pay rise.
Yep, okay.
Yep. That's
heard that before.
Yep. They also want a huge expansion of their workforce.
Ooh.
Almost 700 more staff they're demanding.
Is that because calendar shooting duties is taking up a lot of time? To all our fiery listeners, I have a massive amount of respect for all that you do.
Do you have a few at home, do you?
The calendars. Yeah.
I won't ask where they are. So they're basically saying we need more staff because at the moment the emergency service is being run on overtime, a hell of a lot of overtime.
Yep.
So they're saying we need more staff. The government says it's disappointed with this move. What the industrial action starting today, similar sort of thing we saw to cops, off-duty firefighters are being told not to answer calls or texts.
Oh, yeah.
As a first move. Yeah, so the government's saying, look, this is disappointing. They say, in terms of the workforce, they say, look, they have 25,000 volunteers to support them.
Who have to be managed.
Yes, exactly,
you know what I mean?
Well.
You can't just let the volunteer fireys just go nuts, fellas.
No, you can't just give them a hose and off you go.
Yeah, no.
This will be interesting. So this is now a third front in this wage war.
No surprise. We predicted this.
Oh, it was at once one goes, then they all start. Everyone wants more money.
Yeah.
It's like in any workplace when someone finds out, oh, Jack got more money, suddenly I'm going to go in there and ask for more money,
There's going to be another one that's fascinating to watch. And now, I've been warning people about the robot apocalypse for years, but I never thought it'd start with essay writing.
Yes. ChatGPT, are you across all this?
Well, I am now.
Artificial intelligence tool. So the education department is banning it from all public schools because of fears that students could use it to cheat in class. Now, this thing, within seconds, it can churn out a credible essay.
Yeah.
So the education department is blocking access across all its computers. We're talking school sites, teachers' laptops. So students won't be able to access the site in class.
Fair enough.
What happens at home, though?
Yeah, indeed.
And this is the issue. So there is software to try to, you know, catch out these essays, but, you know, it's kind of like,
you know, teachers can also
trying
use
to stay ahead.
Teachers can also use it to mark the essays.
Oh, that's
did you know that? So apparently you can put the text, you can put any text into ChatGPT and it will spit out a basic, like, comment and a grade. So you might have a situation where the students are going, oh, I'm just going to use ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And then the teachers are going
to use ChatGPT. Okay. If you're going to use that, I'll use that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think perhaps it's going to necessitate a change in how we mark.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's more in class.
Yep.
Sort of less marking homework. An assessment and less homework. Yeah.
Potentially. I think very interesting. From what I hear, the essays that it does spit out, you know, you're probably not going to get A pluses for them. Like it might be a credible essay.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not going to
if you're dealing with a student who gets C's or whatever and they can get a B plus, they'd be happy with that.
For sure. And now talking about schools, Catholic schools in New South Wales will be the talk of the country tomorrow with the ABC's Four Corners program set to air some explosive claims tonight about the small but powerful Catholic organisation known as Opus Dei. And now, I don't know if you've heard much about this story. It's breaking over on the East Coast this morning. So Four Corners have interviewed more than 30 alumni and some parents, and these disturbing practices that have been promoted by this, it's almost like a cult within some of these Catholic schools.
Yeah.
Students say that they've been told that watching pornography causes holes in the brain. Deary me. Girls were discouraged from getting a life-saving cancer vaccine. Pages of the curriculum were ripped out or redacted from textbooks. Homophobia was rife, and there were persistent attempts to recruit school students to Opus Dei. Many former students say that their schooling left them with psychological damage. Four Corners contacted the New South Wales Premier, Dominic Perrottet, who immediately asked the New South Wales Education Standards Authority to launch an investigation into the schools involved. Like, I think the stuff that we're going to hear on the TV tonight is going to be a big topic of conversation tomorrow.
It's interesting. I went to a Catholic school over in Victoria, and when Archbishop Pell came in into that power authority, we got no sex education after that. Mm. It stopped. It all stopped at year eight, year nine I was in at the time, and that was it.
Yep.
It was like living under some sort of communist rule where your information is being kept from you, which is harmful.
Bizarre. Yeah. It's bizarre. And now Pakistan is in mourning today after more than 50 people were killed in two separate travel-related accidents on Sunday. Really quite shocking. At least 41 people died when a bus fell into a ravine from a bridge and caught fire in the southwest of the country, while in the northwest, at least 10 kids drowned in a boating accident. And the bodies recovered so far between 7 and 14, which is just so terribly sad. The kids had been on a school day trip, and it wasn't the first time that an accident had occurred at this particular lake, so no doubt local authorities will investigate the circumstances. Terribly, terribly tragic. And the Iranian Defense Ministry says that it has foiled a drone attack on a military facility in the city of Isfahan. This one's very interesting. So the Iran Defense Ministry said that three drones were involved in this attack. There were no casualties, and that one drone was destroyed by their air defense systems and two were caught by what they called defense traps. Not much information on what that entails. And minor damage was caused to a building. We don't know exactly how much damage was done at the site. It hasn't been independently confirmed. And there's been no immediate claim of responsibility, although US officials, interestingly, are pointing to the possibility that Israel carried out the attack.
Why are the US stopping in Israel?
Well, I think they'll probably asked if they were the ones.
They were the ones. It's not us.
Like, no, it's not us.
Yeah.
But it might have been Israel. But it comes amid heightened tensions.
Israel is widely seen as a proxy for the US. Anyway.
Exactly, especially in that region.
Yeah.
And so it comes amid heightened tensions over Iran's nuclear program and the supply of arms to Russia for the war in Ukraine. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if Israel and the US perhaps were involved in attacking this military facility.
Sport.
And now it's all scorches when it comes to sport in WA.
34,000 tickets have already been snapped up to the Big Bash League final Saturday, Optus Stadium. They're talking this could be a record crowd for the Scorchers by the time you add in WACA members and premium hospitality tickets. So there will be another allocation after this first allocation of 34,000 tickets. It's going to happen later in the week, so stay tuned for that one. It's going to be a massive, massive game, isn't it? Just absolutely huge. And this potentially will be the biggest Big Bash game outside of the MCG.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amazing. And and what a cracker it's going to be as well.
Like, and the eighth final for the Scorchers.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a good run. Between the Wildcats and the Scorchers, we have good form in finals.
And do you know what? They're a champion team rather than a team of champions. Do you know what I mean? Like, you got some of these other BBL teams that have the big names, but the
there's
the
no
Scorchers
eye in team.
Battlers. No, there definitely isn't. There's no eye in Scorchers either.
They're batters and battlers.
Yeah, exactly. I tell you who's you can't call her a battler. She's a superstar, Sam Kerr. Mm. But she does certainly battle away. Like, she has been so consistent over so many years. Absolute superstar of Western Australia sport. One of my all-time favourite West Aussie athletes.
Very humble as well.
Very humble. I just love her so much. And her love affair with the Women's FA Cup in the UK has blossomed again. The Matildas superstar has scored a hat-trick to blast Chelsea into the fifth round. Three goals. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's...
she looks
World Cup matches struggled to get three at all.
Yeah. And so do you know that she's only 29?
Only 29?
Yeah, it's amazing, right? It feels like she's been around forever.
Yeah.
She scored.
We're not saying that she looks older than 29.
No,
it just feels like she's been around for a long time.
At the top level of women's soccer
for
so long.
For years.
She scored in the 32nd, 52nd and 79th minute. And she wasn't the only Matilda getting in on the scoring action in the FA Cup. Her fellow Matilda teammate, Caitlin Ford, got on the scoreboard for Arsenal in a 9-0 win.
Ooh.
It was an absolute drubbing for them. I'm conflicted about this one. Novak Djokovic has won his 10th Australian Open title. He beat Tsitsipas 6-3, 7-6, 7-6 at Rod Laver Arena. I watched a little bit of it.
Yeah.
When it seemed obvious that Djokovic was going to win,
I tuned out.
And so...
wanted good to triumph over evil.
I did. And so that's now 22 men's Grand Slam singles titles for the Joker. He's equaled Rafael Nadal's record. So... you know, now you have to really put him in the conversation as the greatest of all time, which, you know, greatest idiot of all time.
I mean, maybe the greatest player, but not best and fairest.
No. I look at you know, Roger Federer. I look at Nadal.
Yeah, look at the Sampras Agassi era.
Great players, and the Djokovic. I don't know. Interesting scenes though when he climbed up into his supporters' box after the game. He was in tears. He said, called it the greatest win of his career because of all of the stuff that he's gone through over the past 4 weeks, which is, I guess, just criticism about his vaccination status.
Yeah.
So there you go, the Joker. He leaves on top.
The Wild West.
And now, Maddie, are you familiar with the famous Jackson Pollock painting, Blue Poles?
Am I what? Yes, yeah, I know Blue Poles. It gets in the news every now and then. Is it back in?
It's back in the news.
Yeah.
So for people who don't know, this is a famous kind of, you know, it's just basically splatters on a canvas. I'm just trying to describe
it. It's striking.
It is striking. It's like 5 metres. It's huge as well.
Mm. Jackson Pollock.
Yeah, Jackson Pollock, famous American artist. And it hangs in the National Gallery of Australia, where it has been for decades now. But to give you a little history lesson, so nearly 50 years ago,
love a bit of art history.
The National Gallery of Australia was still a dream in the minds of then Prime Minister Gough Whitlam and the gallery's acting director, James Mollison. But Mollison's former boss, who was an art dealer, Max Hutchison, said to him, mate, you know, I reckon we can get this Jackson Pollock painting, Blue Poles. I know a New York property mogul who's flogging it. We can buy it off him if you can get the federal government to put up the cash. And so Gough Whitlam's like, yeah, okay, $1.3 million, which was the highest price paid for an American artwork at the time. And so the Australian government bought this...
Paid too much?
Yeah, bought this Jackson Pollock painting, even though the art gallery wasn't going to open for 10 years. So it sat on the wall of this New York property mogul for 10 years, even though it had already been bought by the Australian government. And then they brought it...
I did not know that part.
And then they brought it to Australia. The gallery still wasn't open, so they're like, oh, we still got a couple of months to kill.
Yeah.
Let's take it on tour around Australia, where it was absolutely lampooned. Everybody was like, what? You paid $1 million for this junk? Because at the time, you know, like it was a lot of money.
It's a huge amount of money.
And it's an interesting painting when I think a lot of people probably weren't used to that style of art.
So this was it in the 80s, the tour? Or was
in the 80s. Yeah, okay. It was in like 1980, 81. Yep. Everybody bagged out the purchase of the thing. But it's hung in the National Gallery since then. And now people kind of love it. Do you know what it's worth now, though? the National Gallery just released
at least
a new valuation.
At least 10 times what it was.
The rest, $500 million.
What?
It is now considered one of the art steals of the century.
Whoa. Why is it worth so much?
It's one of Jackson Pollock's most acclaimed works.
Oh, my God. What an investment.
Big art. It's always expensive. And that's your news from the West Australian for Monday, January 30. And don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. Matty, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Catch you tomorrow, bye.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
We're going to every corner of the country to find your next Australian Idol.
The superstar judges are here.
You don't sound like anybody I've ever heard.
Australian Idol. Watch live tonight, 7:30 on 7 and 7 Plus.